Je vais aller un petit peu dans le temps d'abord.
One of the strangest things a person realizes in Tfilin. Then you come to Eretz Yisrael, is that nobody's willing to Tfilin or Chol HaMoed. And the question becomes, where in the world did all this come from? Where is this strange thing? You have a mitzvah deraisa of Tfilin, that half of Klai Yisrael is fulfilling in Chol HaMoed, half of Klai Yisrael is not fulfilling, and somehow in Eretz Yisrael, the meaning became universal, and nobody wears Tfilin or Chol HaMoed. What's this all about? What's the base of this? So I thought we'd try to learn through the sugya a little bit, get a little bit of a background to the sugya, to try to understand what exactly, where the different Chol Yisrael came from. So the sugya begins in Maseches Menachos, but the Gemara raises the question about wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Is the person supposed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov or not? So the Gemara quotes a Machlokes HaTanoim about how to interpret a pasuk in Parshas Bo. The Torah says in Parshas Bo, "B'shamarto sachuk azos l'moada miyamim yamima." You should observe this law for miyamim yamima. So there's a very big problem with the pasuk. What's the problem with the pasuk? We have no clue which chukah the Torah is referring to. Which mitzvah? The chukah is vague. The chukah is not clear. Which mitzvah we are required to observe? And what in the world does the phrase miyamim yamima mean? So the Gemara quotes a machlekes HaTanoim between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili interpreted this pasuk to be referring to the mitzvah of tefillin, which makes a lot of sense because that's what the pasuk immediately before it is referring to. So Rabbi Yossi clearly said, "B'shamarta sechuk azois." You have to observe the mitzvah of tefillin. So what does miyamim yamima mean? So Rabbi Yossi clearly says, "Yamim means every day." We all know you have to put on tefillin every day. So yamim yamima teaches us you have to put on tefillin every day. But since the Torah uses the phrase yamim, so Rabbi Yossi clearly derives from here that we do not wear tefillin at night. That's number one. And number two, Rabbi Yossi clearly derives miyamim. Miyamim means some days. Mikzas hayamim, some days. Some days yes and some days no. Which days do you wear tefillin? On regular days, ordinary days. You may chol, you wear tefillin. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, which are special holy days, you don't wear tefillin. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili understood the pasuk referring to tefillin. He interpreted the phrase yamim yamima referring to daily. He interprets the phrase yamim to exclude leilos. And he interprets as the mem, mi yamim, velo kol yamim, to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we understand Rabbi Yossi Aglili pretty clearly. We understand what the pasuk means according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva disagrees fundamentally with Rabbi Yossi Aglili because he disagrees with him as to what's pshat in the pasuk. B'shamarta sechuka hazos. What is the pasuk chuka? What does it refer to? So Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't even refer to tefillin. Rather, it refers to Korban Pesach, which it happens to be the theme of that entire parasha. This pasuk is in Parshas Kadesh. It's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Bo, which happens to be in our tefillin. Many people say it every day. And you can say the pasuk of Kadesh every day if they put on tefillin. According to Rabbi Akiva, the chukah that the Torah is referring to is not even referring to tefillin. It's referring to Korban Pesach. And the mitzvah is that you have to bring the Korban Pesach. When do you bring the Korban Pesach? Every day you bring Korban Pesach. You don't bring Korban Pesach every day. Rather, yamim yamima means every year. Yom yamima means once a year. Sometimes the phrase yom yamima means daily in Tanakh, and sometimes it means annually in Tanakh. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that the pasuk is not even referring to tefillin, it's referring to Korban Pesach. Yamim yamima cannot mean daily, rather yom yamima means annually once a year. It also follows, according to Rabbi Akiva, that there's no reason to exclude the mitzvah of tefillin at night, and there's no reason to exclude the mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There is no such pasuk, according to Rabbi Akiva. So we happen to paskin the halacha like Rabbi Akiva. We don't accept Rabbi Yossi Aglili's interpretation. We paskin that this pasuk is not even talking about tefillin, which opens up for us the question, well, should you wear tefillin at night or not? Opens up the second question, should you wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov or not? So when it comes to tefillin at night, most of the Rishonim assume that in fact, min haTorah, you are permitted to wear tefillin at night. You're supposed to be wearing tefillin at night. The only reason why we don't wear tefillin at night is a gezeirah midrabbanan. We're afraid you may fall asleep in your tefillin, which would be inappropriate to the tefillin. But midah araisa, we paskin that laila is not tefillin, that technically you are permitted to wear tefillin at night. So by me making that statement, I'm giving you guys all a tremendous cover. Do you know why? Because the Gemara says that you're not supposed to tell Amaratzim that. Halacha din Merin came. You're not supposed to tell regular people that you're allowed to wear tefillin at night, because they may come to be mezalzel on tefillin. So Baruch Hashem, everyone's a great tamid chacham, Rabbi Korn's tamidim. So I'm free to say that Meikra din, you're allowed to wear tefillin at night, but don't tell anybody. You're not really supposed to. Halacha din Merin came. It's in fact based on this idea that Meikra din, you're really allowed to wear tefillin at night, and it's only midrabbanim, we're afraid you may sleep in them. That one of the Rishon Rabbeinu Peretz says that one of its, you're already up for the day, you already woke up very, very early, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not going back to sleep anymore, so then you're allowed to put on tefillin, because there's no fear of Gzeres HaMishim. If it's 11:30 at night, I'm exhausted now, if I wouldn't be saying the shir, I'd be sleeping. So if a person's afraid you're going to fall asleep, so then you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night. But if you're already up for the day, it's 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you're not going anywhere anymore, you're not going back to sleep anymore, then you would be permitted to wear tefillin at night. In Shulchan Aruch, we actually postulate Rabbi Peretz, but the Shulchan Aruch recommends not to recite a bracha until the daytime. But me'ikim yitredin, we pass that if a person gets up early in the morning and they have to put on tefillin early, they would be permitted to do so. In fact, this Rebbe Peretz was quoted l'halocha l'mais in a very tragic situation during World War II, during the Holocaust. So sometimes you had situations where Jews were able to get their hands on a pair of tefillin, sometimes even within concentration camps, but they obviously couldn't put on the tefillin in the middle of the day. They were working, they were going to get caught, they would be killed, so they would sometimes put on tefillin mamash in the middle of the night. So Shabbos, how can you permit me to put on tefillin? You're not allowed to put on tefillin at night. So the answer is that they were already up for the day. So let's say if they were getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so they would wake up 5 minutes earlier before the Nazis would come to see them, and they would get up and they would quickly put on tefillin, so the gezeir and the rabbanon that you make up to sleep doesn't apply to such circumstances. And that's lamais what they did. There were tshuvas that were actually written during the Holocaust, documented that was in fact done by many Jews in concentration camps relying on this Rebbeinu Peretz. So I call upon him, the halacha is that tefillin technically min haTorah can be worn at night. What about on Shabbos and Yom Tov? We who reject Rabbi Yossi Aglila's interpretation of the Pasuk, we who follow Rabbi Akiva, we have no reason to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov from wearing tefillin. So comes the Gemara and says no. That even according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why not? For a totally different reason, from left field. Nothing to do with this Pasuk. A different Pasuk. Ukshartem liyosei yodecha. Tefillin are supposed to be an oath. It's supposed to be a sign. Yatsu Shabbosos Yadon Tovim, which are themselves an oath. Shabbos and Yom Tov themselves are an oath. Shabbos is an oath, and Yom Tov is also considered to be like Shabbos. It's considered to be an oath. It's a sign between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So only a Yom Chol, a weekday, requires the oath of tefillin. Shabbos and Yom Tov do not require the oath of tefillin, therefore one doesn't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's what it says in the Gemara. So up until now, we just learned through a sugya in Amud and Gemara, Maseches Menachos, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva. We pass in Malach like Rabbi Akiva. So we pass in Min HaTorah, you do wear tefillin at night, but the Rabbani you don't. But we also pass in that Min HaTorah, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because Shabbos and Yom Tov aren't oaths. So that's all in terms of the Gemara. Now is where the work starts in the Rishonim. We have to ask ourselves a fundamental question. Why is Shabbos an oath? What dimension of Shabbos transforms Shabbos to be a yom of an oath? What aspect of Shabbos is it that prevents us from wearing tefillin on Shabbos?
Does he agree that since Shabbos is an oath, you wouldn't need tefillin because he has a drasha?
Yeah, he doesn't need that drasha. He has no need for that drasha. He probably wouldn't interpret the drasha like that. He would just say, it's filmed out from a yomim velo kol yomim.
He would disagree with the oath.
Right, he doesn't have to fall into that drasha or drasha. So the halacha l'maisa that we follow every kibbutz drasha, what is it about Shabbos that makes it an oath? So if you would ask me, I would say, what is it about Shabbos? What is the feature about Shabbos? The issue of halacha. Whenever you have a day that's also in halacha, the fact that we're refraining from halacha, that's the oath. But we just said it last week's parashah, Shomer es osa Shabbos, ki oisi b'nir b'neichem, oisi li'olam, we rest, that's the oath. So l'chora, it's the refraining from malacha, that is the dimension of oaths. And that prohibition of malacha exists b'ein b'Shabbos, b'ein b'Yontif. But now's where the excitement starts. What about Chol HaMoed? What's the halacha? Is Chol HaMoed considered to be an oath, or is Chol HaMoed not considered to be an oath? What we're really asking is, are you allowed to do malacha in Chol HaMoed, or are you not allowed to do malacha in Chol HaMoed? If you're allowed to do malacha in Chol HaMoed, then it's not an oath. If it's not an oath, then you have to wear tefillin. If you're not allowed to do malach and chalamoy, then chalamoy qualifies as an oath. If it's an oath, then you don't have to wear tefillin. So the question we want to know, we're learning Hilchos Tefillin Sugya now. We want to know if you wear tefillin or chalamoy or not. The question is not really a Hilchos Tefillin question. The question is really a malach and chalamoy question. Are you permitted to do malach and chalamoy or not? If the answer to that question is yes, permitted to do malach, then the answer is obviously you have to wear tefillin. It's not an oath. If the answer to that question is no, you're not permitted to do malacha, then the answer is no, you do not wear tefillin because it is an oath. No, Rabbi said, what's the answer to that question? Are you allowed to do malacha and chalamon or not? It's a tricky question. What's the answer? It's a tricky answer because it depends. It depends what kind of malacha. Unlike Shabbos and Yom Tov, where basically all malachas are else, Yom Tov is a little bit of an exception. There are a few malachas which are echol nefesh, but those are very, very few. for the most part, Shabbos is a nisim halacha, and for Yom Tov there's a nisim halacha. Chol HaMoed is a very, very strange thing. Some things you're permitted to do on Chol HaMoed, other things you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. So, for example, if you have a dovra of it, the first Mishnah by Katan tells us, if you're afraid that all your crop is going to die, because it wasn't irrigated properly, so now you're allowed to go out and irrigate your fields on Chol HaMoed. That's called a dover oven, and that would be okay. Certain other things are permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed, but other things are not permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed. Let's say if you want to fix your something in your house or something on Chol HaMoed, you want to paint the Chol HaMoed. So there are a lot of things that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. So what's the halacha? So Chol HaMoed is also b'malacha, it's mutar b'malacha. So now we have a major question about the mitzvah of tefillin hinging on that nekuda. And the answer is that depends. Some halachas yes, some halachas no. So how do we explain this phenomenon about Chol HaMoed, that some things are also, some things are mutar? So this is a major machlokes of Rishonim. So there was one group of Rishonim which were of the opinion that min haTorah, there's no such thing as an Nisim Halacha in Chol HaMoed. Where do we ever find the Nisim Halacha that sometimes mutar, sometimes also? Yeah, no, depending, is it a Mokhmefse, not a Mokhmefse? Those are terms that don't exist in the Torah. In the Torah, everything is either black or white. Either it's also or it's mutar. From the fact that we have this half-baked, this from Halacha Chol HaMoed, the whole thing, the Tchilavi itself, was only Midrabban. This was the view of Rabbeinu Tam. And many other Rishonim who saw it from Rabbeinu Tam, that the whole institution of Melechas Chol HaMoed, Hakol Mikol Kol, was only Midrabban. Why did the Chachamim institute it? Because they wanted to make the day special, because after all, you're supposed to be eating in the Sukkah and Chol HaMoed Sukkahs, it's still a simple Yom Tov Pesach, you're eating Matzah, you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash, so there are a lot of very nice things about Chol HaMoed. So the Chachamim wanted to institute a quasi Issa Malacha to make people celebrate the Yom Tov properly. But Min HaTorah, there's no Issa Malacha. And other Rishonim disagreed a bit. Tam's brother, the Rashbam, is what the two brothers used to fight about. The Rashbam and other Rishonim said it's not true. That Malachas Chol HaMoed is Geraisa. Certain Malachas are Hoser and certain Malachas are Mutter. How do we figure out which are which? That's a multi-million-dollar question beyond the scope right now. But whichever Malachas are Hoser are Hoser Min HaTorah. Whatever Malachas are Mutter are Mutter Min HaTorah. So major Machlekes and Rishonim, what is Malachas Chol HaMoed? Is it Hoser Min HaTorah or is it Hoser Min HaRabbanan? My nafkamina for Hoser Malachas Tefillin, all the nafkamina in the world. Tefillin is a mitzvah midaraisa. So we have to define on a Torah level. Ask Moshe Rabbeinu the Shaila, is today a Yom Oser not? So I want to know, I live in the days of the Mitzvah, I live in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and I come Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the din? Do I put on tefillin today or not? It's Thursday Chol HaMoed Pesach, do I put on tefillin or not? Is today an Oser not? So it depends. If Moshe Rabbeinu holds like Rabbeinu Tam, that Malachas Chol HaMoed is only midrabbanan, that the whole thing doesn't exist midaraisa. So then the answer is, Yimachuyim min haTorah, put on tefillin. What do you mean, Issa derabbanan malacha? How in the world does an Issa derabbanan malacha, affect the mitzvah deraisa tefillin? So if Malachas Chol HaMoed is only midrabbanan, then of course you have to put on tefillin today. But if the Rashbam's right, that Malachas Chol HaMoed is also min haTorah, whatever is also min haTorah, then it turns out that Chol HaMoed does qualify as a Yom Os Min HaTorah, and if it qualifies as a Yom Os Min HaTorah, then one would not wear tefillin today Min HaTorah. So the real question, Bechora, is Malachas Chol HaMoed Deraisa Rabbanan? Whatever the answer to that question will determine whether you're supposed to put on tefillin or not. That's Bechora what I would have said. So Tosfos writes that way in a few places. But then Tosfos throws a monkey wrench in. Tosfos says, maybe for the last 15 minutes we've been focusing on the wrong thing. We made an equation a few minutes ago. We said, Os equals Nisim Halacha. The reason why Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered to be an Os is because of Nisim Halacha. Is there any other dimension of Yom Tov we could perhaps think of that creates the aspect of Os? Is there anything about Pesach that creates an Os? Anything about Sukkos that creates an Os nothing to do with Halacha? Not only to subtract, a little bit more than that. Kiddush, besides Kiddush, almost there. What do we do special on Pesach? Matzah and Pesach, we don't eat chametz and Pesach. What do we do special on Sukkot? We sit in the Sukkot. There are mitzvahs hayom. There are special mitzvahs that apply in Pesach, apply in Sukkot, that don't apply the rest of the year. So maybe we've been going down the wrong road. We've been focusing so much on the negativity of Issa Malacha, and we're pupilling Issa Chol HaMoed. Yeah, Malacha, no Malacha, we got the whole thing wrong. The real definition of Os is the mitzvah hayom. So maybe one can argue as follows. Even if you hold that Malachas Chol HaMoed is the Rabbanan, you're still not allowed to eat chametz and Pesach min haTorah. You still have to eat in the Sukkah and Sukkos min haTorah. And so of course Pesach and Sukkos are special and unique days min haTorah. That uniqueness may not express itself in the Issa Malacha min haTorah, but for sure it expresses itself in terms of mitzvah sayom. So it's quite possible that Sukkot and Pesach, both the Yom Tov part and the Chol HaMoed part, qualify as full-fledged osos min haTorah, not because of malach, malach is irrelevant, but because of the mitzvah sayom. If that's the case, then we have another reason to exempt us from wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So let's put the whole picture together now. What do we have? We have really three logical possibilities to how to approach putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Should we put on tefillin, should we not put on tefillin? So it depends on two different factors. If you say that the quality of os, the characteristic of os, is a mitzvah sayom oriented, then there's no question you don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. If you say that os is defined by malacha, so then you have to ask the further question, is malacha d'arais or d'rabbanan? So we have a few different permutations, a few different possibilities as to how we should pass in the Shaila. So this is the background. These are the svaras that the Rishonim throw around. Now l'maisa, how does it play out l'maisa? What do we say l'alocha in terms of putting on tefillin? So here you find a real split down the line in terms of the Rishonim. So you find a whole group of Ashkenazi, primarily Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Baalei HaTosfos and primarily the Rosh, who paskins that, of course you have to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Rosh says, it's not even a shayla, why do you have to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Because the only aspect of os is not the mitzvah sayom, it's malacha, malacha Chol HaMoed is only d'rabbanan, the whole thing is not true, minatara Chol HaMoed is a regular day, basically, and therefore minatara you have to put on tefillin with a bracha, belishim safek. That was the opinion of the Rosh. Then you have, on the other hand, you have certain of the Sfarim Rishonim, probably the Rashba. The Rashba and the Rosh were contemporaries with one another. They had an interesting dealings with one another. The Rosh was originally a Rav in Germany, and the Rosh was a Rav in Spain. So the Rosh ran away from Germany because his Rebbe got into trouble, so he thought he was going to be the next one. His Rebbe got into a fight with the government, the whole story, they threw him into jail, the whole Misa, the Maram in Rutenberg. So the Rosh was afraid they were going to come after him next, so he ran away and he escaped to Spain. He needed a job, so he approached the Rashba for a job, so the Rashba put him into another place in Spain. So the Rashba was the Rav in Barcelona, and the Rosh was the Rav in Toledo. They were both contemporary Rabbanim at the same time in Spain. But so the Rashba disagreed with the Rosh, and the Rashba says that it's not true that you don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is an ice, and that's it. No tefillin and finish. So it sounds like it's a machlokes between the Chachmei Ashkenaz, who sided with the view of putting tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and the Chachmei Svarad, who seemed to say not to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So comes the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef was ready a couple hundred years later, the Sakaro. So he's usually the one who's going to record for us what the Minhagei Svarad are. So comes the Beis Yosef and tells us a fascinating thing. Says the Beis Yosef that in the early days, the old minhag in Spain, exactly what year it was, I'm not sure, but the old minhag in Spain, says the Beis Yosef, was that people used to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The original Sfarim used to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And then they changed it. Then they stopped it. Why did they stop it? Because they realized that it says in the Zohar, Kodesh says, that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. It's an aveir to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So the minhag in Spain changed. That's what the Zohar, that's what the Beis Yosef writes. But the minhag mamash changed. And the minhag became that they stopped wearing tefillin in Spain. So the days of the Shulchan Aruch already, all the Rabbanim of Sfarad, all the Sfaradi opinions, were no longer wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So that's why Shulchan Aruch, it's written, don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Shulchan Aruch paskins in Achos Tefillin, not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, that we paskin in Halacha, that one does not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Comes the Ramah. The Ramah was a Rav in Eastern Europe, in Krakow, in Poland. So we may have been in the shul. So the Ramah says, that's not true. I gave a shiur, this chus list, this past summer, I gave a shiur on the Ramah shul. So I gave a shiur about a psak of the Ramah, famous psak that the Ramah gave. So I gave the shiur in his shul, where he mamash gave that psak. So comes the
same thing. Huh? Sorry, the same thing. We said the Shiva Sarama last year.
Well, but he married on Friday night. That Shiva Sarama.
No. We talked about the Maslow. We talked about this before the decision this meeting.
Give it in the show. So that's the minute. That seems to be a minute. I'll tell you a funny story that happened in the Ramah show with us. It was a couple of days after Shavuos. I was with a group of Bacharim. It was a couple of days after Shavuos, and it was still within the week after Shavuos. So different minhagim about whether you say Tachanun or not. So some say only say don't say Tachanun. It's Ruchan Shavuos, and some say don't say Tachanun for the whole week. So we didn't know what to do. We came to Mincha, we didn't know what to do. So I said, you have to look up the Ramah. I'm going to paskin. So we dug up, there was a Mishnah Berurah on the shelf there. So I looked up the Ramah, and the Ramah says, you say Tachanun. The Ramah says, oh, yes, Ruchan, you don't say Tachanun. So we paskin like the Ramah and the Ramah show. So people were yelling at us, well, what do you mean? Nobody says Tachanun. I said, we nobody says Tachanun. And crack, and they said Tachanun. I'm going to argue with the Ramah. Anyway, get back to this story. So the Ramah, so if I would be cholamoyed and crap, I wouldn't know what to do, because the Ramah says you have to put on tefillin. The Ramah passes like Tais, like the Rosh, that you have to put on tefillin. The Ramah says you put on tefillin with a bracha. He says it's not even a suffix. He says, Ramah, you have to put on tefillin. There's no shayla. What's the suffix? So we have a machloikis now from one extreme to the other. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you don't put on tefillin, and the Ramah says you do put on tefillin with the bracha. So other Acharonim were nervous, they didn't know what to do. So comes the Taz and says, the Shulchan Aruch is saying one thing, the Ramah is saying something else, so we'll make everybody happy. Put on tefillin without a bracha. You put on tefillin without a bracha, that's why Nishkefilch, not the end of the world. So that's why you have three different possibilities in Halacha, and you have three different Menachem in Klai Yisrael today. Some don't put on tefillin at all, following the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. Some follow the Pesach of the Ramah, they do put on tefillin with a bracha. And others follow the Pesach of the Taz. And they put on tefillin, albeit without a bracha. We have to raise a question and ask ourselves, what's so terrible? Why don't we just put on tefillin with something? Why doesn't everybody do like the Taz? It makes so much more sense to do like the Taz. Why should we get involved in the Shaila? Put on tefillin. What do you have to lose by putting on tefillin? So there's a major machlokes haposkim, assuming that you don't put on tefillin in Cholamoy. Well, for that matter, Shabbos and Yom Tov, but for sure you don't put on tefillin. So what does that mean you don't put on tefillin in Shabbos and Yom Tov? What does it mean according to the Shulchan Aruch you don't put on tefillin in Cholamoy? That means you're potter from tefillin? Or that means it's usur to put on tefillin? Which one is it? So that's a big, big machlokes haposkim. So if you hold that it's also to put on tefillin, so then we understand. We don't want to take a chance. You can't say I'm going to be machmir to put on tefillin. You're being machmir to put on tefillin, but you're being makel to violate the yisur, putting on tefillin on chalamay. If you hold that it's poter, you're not machlif to be doing, there's nothing wrong with it. So the Taz's suggestion makes the most sense. Put it on without a bracha. But if you hold that it's mamash yisur gomor to put on tefillin on chalamay, so then you have no choice and you have to decide. You have to pass the yeah, no, but you can't play a game. You can't say that, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says that even if it's aser to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, that only means it's aser if you have in mind to do the mitzvah tefillin. Let's say I stop my practicing to put on tefillin. Say I want the sofa to see whether the knot fits me or not. So I put the tefillin on the Chol HaMoed just for a game. So that's not an issa. There's nothing wrong with that. If there's an issa, the issa is b'teres mitzvah. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, maybe you should do like this. I very love the putting on tefillin. You should come to Chol HaMoed and put on tefillin, make it tonight, make it in condition. If the Shulchan Aruch is right, then I'm not supposed to be wearing tefillin today. I'm not wearing tefillin. I'm just putting straps on my arm to keep my arm warm. I'm not doing a mitzvah. If the Ramah is right, then Hinni Mukherim Zum and the Shem Mitzvah Seishal Torah are putting on tefillin. Says the Mishnah, if you do that, then you make everybody happy. So you didn't violate any Yisr, because you only put them on a Tanai that you chayef to, and you didn't make a bracha. It's a suffering bracha. It's a Mamashal my Israel. So there's some people who do that also. So you have every single possible permutation that exists in the world. Those who don't put on tefillin b'chal, they don't want to go anywhere near the tefillin on Chol HaMoed, that's the Shulchan Aruch's p'sach. You have those who put on tefillin mamash with the bracha, that's the most p'sach. Then you have those who put it on without a bracha, the Taz, and then you have others with the Mishnah Berurah who put it on without a bracha, with it tonight, a whole shtickle Torah, in order to get to be Yotzei everybody's Shita. Lamaisa, how did it end up? The way we're presenting it, that the Pashtus Advarim is that the Ashkenazi Rishayim, all of the opinion that you're supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, Taisin, the Rosh, and the Ramah, passes away between his Vaday. So how come in many Ashkenazi communities, Adayim is a fear, so for a minute, in many Ashkenazi communities, Adayim is there, many Ashkenazim do not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. What's this based on? So this is probably based on two different factors. One of them is the rise of the Hasidim. So when the Hasidim entered onto the picture in history, so the Hasidim picked up many of the minhagim of the Ariya called the Shmeret minhagim api Kabbalah, many of the statements of the Zohar. And the same way that the Beis Yosef writes that the minhag in Spain became to follow the Zohar, not to wear tefillin, so that happened in the Hasidish communities in Europe as well. So by all the Hasidim, none of the Hasidim today, in America, in Chutzlaritz, and it's all nowhere, well, none of the Hasidim wear tefillin today. So many people were descendants for Hasidish minhagim, even though you may not necessarily look like a Chassid, but your great-great-grandfather may have worn a shtanel. So he made a davening six five. If you do it now, it's a different story. So that minhag of not wearing tefillin became very, very prevalent in Eastern Europe, even within Ashkenazi communities. That was one factor. Then there was another factor, and that was the Gra. The Gra, on this particular Shaila, sides with the Shulchan Aruch against the Ramah. The Gra, even though he's an Ashkenazi, the Bira Gra, the Ramagon, Paskin and Halacha like the Shulchan Aruch, that Yitaka do not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. He says the Ramah is not correct. So now you have, even within Ashkenazi communities, you have that original Minhag Ashkenaz being watered down a little bit. So even though in the days of the Rishonim, you get the impression that all the Ashkenazim wore tefillin on Chol HaMoed, but in the days of the Gra, the days of the Hasidim, the Shem Tov already, a couple hundred years later, so even when, within many Ashkenazi communities, they stopped wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So you had different shittas throughout the years, different psachim that were given about the Shaila. So the hardcore Ashkenazim who followed the Psach of the Ramah, so they still wear tefillin out of Yemezeh, and the Sfarim don't, and the Tamidi Agra don't, and the Hasidim don't. And it's this background which just gives us a little bit of understanding. If you want to understand a little bit about Minhagi Eretz Yisrael, so if you understand just a drop of history, you'll understand exactly where many of the Minhagi Eretz Yisrael came from. There were three forces primarily being Kaveh, what the Minhag HaMokom in Eretz Yisrael was. One is the Minhag of the Sfaradim. The Sfaradim were here even before the Ashkenazim. Number two were the Tamidi HaGra. They were the ones who first came from East Europe a couple hundred years ago. And the other, Tamidi HaBal Shem Tov, the first group of Hasidim who came to Eretz Yisrael also around the same time. So the Minhag Eretz Yisrael that are practiced at Ayam Ezeh are pretty much a combination of these three factors. And you find a strange thing. When these three forces all hold the same thing, when the Gra, the Hasidim, and the Sfaradim all vote the same way, that became Mamish the Minhag Eretz Yisrael, Belishum Sofek, Belishum Pikpok. And this is a classic example of this, that not wearing Tefillah and Chol HaMoed, so the Sfaradim haven't been wearing Tefillah and Chol HaMoed since the days of the Beis Yosef and before, the Hasidim haven't been wearing Tefillah and Chol HaMoed, the Tamidi HaGra haven't been wearing Tefillah and Chol HaMoed. When the Tamidi HaGra, the Sfaradim, the Hasidim all vote the same way, you can be sure that's going to become the Minhag Eretz Yisrael. You have the same thing, LaMarshal also, in the Yom Pesach a little bit, when it comes to Hallel and Shul on Pesach night. So we know in Chutz Laaretz there are many different minhagim. Some shul say hallel, some shul don't say hallel, there are most that not say hallel, the shulchanos do say hallel, and Eretz Yisrael everybody says, right? So why does everybody say in Eretz Yisrael? The same three factors, that the shulchanos, the Sfaradim always said hallel on Pesach night and shul, the Hasidim say hallel on Pesach night and shul, and the Gra help to say hallel on Pesach night and shul. So when all three vote in the same direction, that's going to become the minhag, the prevalent minhag in Eretz Yisrael.
So, I was wondering, part of the time, it seems like he's trying to keep safe the shulchanos, right? So I'm just going to fill it out
the bracha. Yeah. If the Ramah's right, so I lose the bracha, big deal.
So the question is, there's no answer, just is there just putting on to fill it. It's the same with the bracha. My question is, even if the Ramah is right, if he puts on to fill without the bracha, is it really like
he's... Yeah, you're still yet to the mitzvah. Even if you don't make a bracha, the bracha is not an akiv mitzvah. You're still yet to the mitzvah.
So how's that like hard to keep him?
No, because you have no choice. You can't make the bracha because the Shacharach says it's a bracha of Atala, so you play it safe. You put it on. At least you don't lose out the mitzvah. So a couple of them, we have at least a little bit of a better understanding just what's going on in terms of the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael. We're going back to America, we're back to Chutz Laaretz. So it's Mamash Hefkevel. In America, Taka still have different Minhagim. The real Sfaradim don't wear tefillin. The real Hasidim don't wear tefillin. The Tamid HaGra don't wear tefillin. And the real hardcore Ashkenazim do. And you have different people have different Minhagim, different things. What's ended up happening in America is pretty much you have the big Americas that you have about split half and half. Half the American people are wearing tefillin ochalamayin, half of them are not wearing tefillin ochalamayin. So the Mishnah Berurah has a comment in Uchos Tefillin where he writes that he thinks that that's a problem. If you have within one shul, half the people are wearing tefillin, half the people are not wearing tefillin. So the Mishnah Berurah says he thinks that's not right. Why? He thinks that touches on a problem of losus kodidu. If that's having been agudas agudas, and when Yevamos in the first track says, you're not supposed to have within one community different official minhagim. So you should decide one shul what the minhag is. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah recommends. So in America, most shuls do not follow the Mishnah Berurah. Most shuls follow the Yisra of Los Godus. Why do people do that? So they're probably relying on a tshuva from Moshe. Moshe has a little bit of a different context. The same Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer writes that even though there are different minhagim about Sfiras, some follow the first days of Sfiras, some follow the last days of Sfiras. But the Mishnah Berurah says in one community you should have a uniform minhag. Everyone should keep the same minhag, whatever it is, the first days or the last days. Otherwise, it's Los Godus. So Moshe writes in the tshuva that he doesn't think that Mishnah Berurah applies in America, because in America there is no minhag in America. It's not like in Europe. In Europe you had communities that were founded that were hundreds of years old. It was a minhag. Frankfurt had a minhag, and Satmar had a minhag, and Wuss had a minhag. They were minhagi hamakom that were kavuim for dairy dairis. In America, it's a hodgepodge. It's a hefkevelt. The first 10 guys who come to shul make up a shul. So one guy's a yekke, one guy's a svadi, one guy's a lipak, one guy's a chosid. So they make together and they make up a new minhag. So that's not considered to be a minhag kavua that the halachas of losus kodu would apply to. So Moshe writes that like Abi Sfiras HaOmer. So maybe that's the same is true when it comes to tefillah and chol hamoed. We don't really have a minhag in America. It depends which place in America. There are some places that do have a minhag hamochel. Let's say, for example, if you go into Washington Heights, you go into Breuers and Washington Heights and not wear tefillin, that would be a violation of Losas Godu, because everybody wears tefillin there. If you go into Satmar and Williamsburg and put on tefillin chalamoy, that would also be Losas Godu, because everybody does not wear tefillin there. If you go into, Bnei Shunatina, you go into Yungizel, Kigran Hill or something, you go into our regular shuls throughout America, so you probably have it. I know when I grew up in Riverdale, so it was pretty much 50-50. You have always those guys in the back who are tallying up every day to see whether they're more tefillin or less tefillin. They always try to strip their guy up to the yom, the guy was going to either other tefillin side or the anti-tefillin side. But Lamais, it always pretty much breaks down evenly, 50-50 or so. So again, so in Eretz Yisrael, we understand what the Minhag Yisrael became to universally not to wear tefillin. And we also understand the Chutzlar, why we still have Adayim Ezel, these different Dehis, which ultimately boiled down to the original Shaila in terms of Os, defining Os properly. Is Os defined in terms of Malacha? Is Os defined in terms of Mitzvah Hayom? And if it's defined in terms of Malacha, whether Malacha is Kalamah is the Raisa,
the Rabbah. is that like as a community, there always has to be one minhag, or does that mean like in shul in public?
I think it means that when you have in a public kind of an area where it's obvious that everyone's being cholik with each other, that's the problem. Those kind of.
So in Israel,
usually if a person walks into a shul in Eretz Yisrael with tefillin on, that would be a problem. That would be a nisa. They probably wouldn't let him stay in the shul, rightfully so. They would tell him to go home and daven be chidus. If you want to put on tefillin privately, you can do it in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. You mean if this mamash, a person really has a family minhag to make a bracha on Chol HaMoed, should you do it? I think you should follow what his family minhag is. If a guy really, his father, his grandfather always made a bracha, so he's following their Ramah said to make a bracha. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not a suffix. I mean, it's we pask. My pshat, my misaira is that we wear tefillin. So it's not my person. I personally don't. But the misaira of those who have the misaira from the Ramah to wear tefillin with a bracha, that's the misaira. So that's not called the suffix for them. The pshat was given that they have to wear tefillin. So I'm not sure the person is going to change that. No, because in Eretz Yisrael, it happens to be that all the different forces that were conveyed the meaning of Eretz Yisrael 200 years ago all happened to hold that you don't wear tefillin. The Shulchan Aruch held that way, and the Grel that way, and the Baal Shem that way, all the different kaivim of the minhag. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, 500 years ago, there were very few Jews in Eretz Yisrael, so we don't know what the minhag was in Eretz Yisrael in the 1300s. There was a handful of Jews there. But in the 1800s, when the Jews started to come back to Eretz Yisrael, so the three basic sources of the minhagi ha-makom that were nikvu in Eretz Yisrael the last 200 years were these three forces. Okay. This is not my historical shtickle tar. This is the Paiskim Rite. This is a Dema Pashal like this. It's not history. This is just a simple psakala. Okay.
Back on the movement. So can us American people, we have a minion, can we wear tefillin in our minion, or is it?
Yeah, I don't think in Eretz Yisrael you should have a. I don't think in Eretz Yisrael anyone should wear publicly tefillin. I don't think so. I don't think it's right. But what are they? You have a minion here? You never have a minion here in Chol HaMoed. I don't think so. I don't think it would be right. A guy wants to wear tefillin in privacy. He's alone. Whatever he wants. But I don't think you should be in a public wearing tefillin in Eretz Yisrael.
In this case, how
are
we going to
Right, that's also a problem. That's a posh. That's a posh. You're allowed to have minyanim for 2 day yontif. Even that's what the Beis Yosef talks about this also in one of his shuvas. They used to have a minyan. They used to have minyanim in Bnei Chutz. They used to have minyanim. That's also a big shalom. It's also not so posh. That's a posh.
Didn't sound they did it against
what the Rabbanim said. Right, the Rabbanim said not to do it. Right. I think writes in Shuvah the East of them, but in Shuvah Savakas Rechel, he writes about the minhag. He lived in Sfat, basically, and he writes there used to be Rabban, there used to be people who would come from Europe to come visit Eretz Yisrael for a few months at a time to come visit the Kibriyat Tzadikim. So he writes, on Yom Tov, he writes, they used to observe 2 days of Yom Tov. That's what the Beis Yosef writes, was always the minhag in Eretz Yisrael. But David Dairis, that when you have Bnei Chutz starts coming to Eretz Yisrael, and they're planning on going back eventually, so then they have to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. That was always the minhag Yisrael for hundreds and hundreds of years, until, that was the minhag Yisrael. And then the question is whether it's appropriate to have minyan or not.